Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Welcome back to Voice of the Cape, Drive Time. Leading African researcher Professor Kelly Chabali has called for a deep commitment to investing in world-class infrastructure and skills for scientists to succeed on the continent. Professor Chabali is from Drug Discoveries and Development Center for Chemistry at the University of Cape Town. He now joins us online. Professor Chabali, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, and good afternoon.
Now, in terms of being a scientist on the continent of Africa, this is not as unique as some people might like to think it is, because scientists in South America, in Asia, in all developing sectors of the world, a lot of them find themselves gravitating to the developed world at the expense of the developing world.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, first of all, and I think this is a very important question, is we need to understand why do they gravitate to the developed world? And that's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And I think if I just focus on our continent of Africa, as if you look back to almost every country in Africa after gaining independence, there has been a lot of training at various levels for a good reason. But if you look back to the last number of decades across the continent, we're still complaining about the lack of skills and not having enough people, precisely because people have been gravitating to the developed world. And the question we should be asking is, why are they doing that? First of all, I think for me, one of two very important factors that are contributing to this. There could be other factors, but I think the two I would like to mention quickly. The first one is actually infrastructure. When I talk about infrastructure, we live in a competitive world where before you can even contemplate competing for a project, you know, the funder wants to have confidence that you have the necessary infrastructure to be able to prosecute that project. So a lot of people that are trained in Africa at PhD level, for example, the career opportunities and the necessary infrastructure which are required to put their training to work is lacking in their home countries.
Mm-hmm.
So the second reason is really a lack of opportunities. When I talk about opportunities, I'm talking about career opportunities and jobs. And unless we accept that people, first of all, have to look after themselves, and that's why they go to school, to get a better education and a job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense 100%, and it's a bit baffling sometimes that governments aren't sitting up and taking note, because I'm sure you'd agree with me, here we have people with specialized skill sets, and they're all dressed up in a sense, and they've got nowhere to go. Whereas if they would be given opportunities, they could actually grow society and, as you've said, grow our infrastructure as well, because, you know, what we're talking about, it's all interrelated.
Completely agree. Because, first of all, my worry is, first of all, that, you know, we can talk about money. You know, money in every country you go to, whether you go to North America, to Europe, money is a challenge wherever you go. It doesn't mean that, you know, people go there and necessarily find it easy. But for me, the starting point is that when you provide infrastructure, and I think this is the responsibility of governments across the continent, is I'm not saying that government should fund everything. I don't think it's fair to expect government to fund everything. I think this is always going to be a private-public partnership. But one of the essential ingredients is that the government in Africa must provide the enabling environment, those incentives, and one of them is actually creating the required infrastructure. And my worry is also that if people do not see prospects of getting a job at the end of a science degree, we're going to destroy the next generation, because nobody wants to pursue a career where they don't have prospects of getting a job. So I think that it's not good enough to simply train people, scientists at doctor level or whatever level, without actually coupling that to really supporting initiatives that can actually contribute to creating jobs and be competitive to attract, you know, all these contracts that scientists, you know, compete for across the globe. And what I've certainly seen from experience is that, you know, it doesn't matter which part of the continent you are, which part of the world you are, when there's talent, when there's infrastructure, money will flow to those. And I think that what we have been able to demonstrate in a small way at the University of Cape Town Drug Discovery and Development Center, H3D, is that when you have the infrastructure in place, a supportive environment within the University of Cape Town, and actually government support for what we do, we have been able to leverage that and actually attract significant foreign direct investment from overseas. And this is just a small little example of what is possible. When we get the infrastructure right and we have an enabling environment where the powers that be, you know, create an environment that supports research, money will flow, because we just need to be competitive, you know, versus the other continents or nations. So, in a small way, I think what the government has been doing in South Africa, I think, is a very good example to the rest of the continent in terms of, you know, creating infrastructure and creating that environment that then will attract funding and projects.
It's very interesting, because just the field in which you're specializing in, and you've already alluded to it, Drug Discovery and Development Center at UCT, just anecdotally, what happens is that the developed world looks to develop drugs for the developing world, whereas in Africa, for example, we sit with tuberculosis-resistant drugs, we sit with the problems of malaria, and the developed world is not really interested in what we're interested in. But if we do something, then, as you've said, then investment does flow in, and it does create an infrastructure, although it's an African infrastructure.
Absolutely. That's a very important point, but I'd like to just clarify a little bit. So first of all, I see these diseases not as African problems. These are human problems. In fact, if you look at the trend in the disease profile of Africa, the so-called non-communicable diseases, the lifestyle diseases, the cancers, the diabetes, these are actually on the increase. In fact, I would argue that they are really the silent killers that, you know, we need to address. But there's a much more important reason, perhaps too, as to why, when we look at the developed world, first of all, I think it's important for us Africans simply to take a step backwards and I think acknowledge that we have been beneficiaries of the innovations that have taken place in other parts of the world. You know, the modern medicine that we see today is thanks to science. And I think there are numerous examples that one can see of the value of science and technology and innovation to society. You know, and I think the medicines that we see in the hospitals are just an example of that. But what's also important for me is that, on one hand, we as Africans have been benefiting from innovations that have come from other parts of the globe. And I think it's important that we also contribute to solving these human problems. They're not just African problems. They are human problems that we should, you know, put together. But the other reason that is really important, why we should really, really get our act together on this continent and create infrastructure, there is absolutely no doubt, and you can see this in the Africa strategy of the major global companies in the pharmaceutical industry. Every one of these big pharmaceutical companies have an Africa strategy. And the reason is that, you know, Africa represents the next growth market for the pharmaceutical industry, because this is a place where it hasn't yet happened. And so for that reason, and another one I'm going to give you in a second, there's a big, deliberate, intentional strategy for these multinationals to look to develop their presence on this continent. So we have to be ready to really seize those opportunities. But there's a second very important reason why multinationals actually now look into Africa. It's precisely what you said earlier. Most of the drugs that are developed in the Western world are never really optimized for African patient populations. And so even if malaria is, you know, mainly an African problem, actually it's in the interest of the pharmaceutical companies to understand how the African patient population handles the various medications in terms of how the different patient populations metabolize drugs, because that has implications on whether you overdose a patient or you underdose a patient. So it's also in the interest of the pharmaceutical industry to actually begin to invest in what is happening on this continent, because actually this is the future for their companies in terms of investments and of course growing their profit margins. So, and that is precisely why I mentioned earlier, this is always going to be a private-public partnership. It is not just government alone, but it's also not just the private sector. We have to partner. Government and all of us, we create the infrastructure, and then we're going to attract all these projects and the funding that we need.
Final question. You've taken a time out to emphasize public-private partnerships, that nobody can do anything on their own. Do you think that this is something that, as South Africans at least, we need to realize that at the end of the day, it's actually all about teamwork?
Very, very important point you've made. It's all about teamwork. And I think that I can only speak about the pharmaceutical sector. 76% of our budget at H3D is all overseas money. And that is overseas money apart from what comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The other funding comes from the private sector, from the pharmaceutical companies. But that is not coming from the private sector in South Africa. What we've been getting is actually tremendous government support, and I really have to give credit where it's due, because I can't speak for everybody. I can only speak from our own experience. That is, in fact, the government support, the support we get from South African government, has allowed us to unlock additional funding from the private sector, but internationally, not the local private sector. So absolutely correct that this is about teamwork. All of us have to come to the party and contribute.
Professor Kelly Chibale from Drug Discoveries and Development Center at UCT, talking about some exciting possibilities, and it's up to us to make them into opportunities and probabilities. Professor Kelly Chibale, thanks a lot, and of course, good luck.
Thank you so much indeed.
Drive Time 91.3, always on the cutting edge.